Before we begin, I wanted to give a huge shout out to Amazon Music for partnering with me on this episode of Chasing Creativity. But more on this later. Let's get right into today's episode. Hi and welcome to yet another episode of Chasing Creativity. Today I have a very special guest who's come all the way down from the UK. Romy Gill, chef extraordinaire, cookbook writer, traveler, restauranteur, and so much more. Welcome to Chasing Creativity, Romy.
Kiran, it's so lovely to meet you and thanks for having me. I was so excited to meet you because we've always chatted, right? every time I come to Mumbai, there's something you are way. So this time it's just happened organically, right?
It was destined to. Yes. Destined to. Like your career, for instance. Romy, you grew up in West Bengal.
Yeah.
That's right. And you're a girl from Punjab. And then you went to the UK. And somehow from Punjab in West Bengal, tell us a bit about your childhood, about this entire journey of this little girl going from place to place and then to UK.
So like many people, my dad migrated to West Bengal from Punjab. He didn't want to do farming. He ran away from home and went. His auntie used to live in West Bengal in Asansol. So he ran away and said he was 16 actually or 17. And he didn't want to study. And he just ran away, said, I don't want to do farming. So my granddad just said, you don't want to study, you have to do farming. He said, no, I'm not doing that. And he ran away and started as an apprenticeship in steel plant in Burnpur. And he did that, and worked really hard. But we were born, three of us were born, my sister, myself, I'm the middle child, and my brother. We all three were born and brought up in Bengal. But all our summer kitchens were mostly Punjab. So okay. Holidays were Punjab. So we used to take something from Bengal. You know, I get so excited meeting a Bengali because I love speaking Bengali. And my brains, when I'm bringing, I would say, I'm not saying Punjabis don't have brains. I'm just saying the Punjabis are love eating. They are very organically in a sense that they're very, open their doors and things like that. And very smart people. Even if they don't show, they're very smart people. But with Bengalis, one thing you have to understand, education is very important. No matter what you do, education comes first. I think food comes first. Education is there, then the food. Kahin ghumne jana hai na, they will say, kothai khabo. First khabo means where we are going to find to eat first. Then we will think about the holidays. Okay? Holiday destination don't liye. But where are the places we're going to go and eat?
That is why jelly still is so popular.
Yes, but I think Bengalis have a different kind of eating. If you meet the eyes rolling, the eyes excitement of food, no one can beat Bengalis in that, right? So I have that kind of thing. And I think when we used to go to Punjab for summer holidays or even sometimes in winter, mostly summer holidays because they were longer. Those lovely train journeys, mom would pack a beautiful picnic and you would meet people. Those things now generation won't understand. Everybody's flying, everybody's fast running. I think that memories that you have, I think there was a connection through food. And I love Bengal. I love going back to Asansol, where I was born and brought up. I went back for some research. And I love Punjab. But if somebody tells me tomorrow to come and live in India, I think there are two places I would say is Calcutta and Mumbai would be my choice to live in India.
Calcutta and Mumbai.
Yeah.
The busiest, most crowded, noisiest cities.
I think I can, I will tell you, I'd be lost. Not lost. I think I will be an individual in my own way and no one will care about me. I can do what I want to. I think I can happily live in that environment and it doesn't bother me. I like especially because I live in the southwest of England. I don't live in London, which everybody thinks England is London. England is not just London. So I think I travel all the time in my car everywhere where I'm filming or recording or cooking. Like I've come to India to cook. So I think I don't mind to get lost. I'm lost in your own country, you know. A tourist in your own country is amazing because that is where you find real India.
Nice. We're going to talk about you traveling through India in a bit when we come to your books. But right now, tell me, when you were growing up, the influences, the Punjabi food influences and the Bengali food influences, how did they mash up for you?
They're mash made in heaven. You take the panchfuran, which is the whole spices, which you use ground as well. The panchfuran, the mustard, the black mustard works really well in Bengali cuisine. Panchfuran again is used as a pickling in India. Punjabis, you know, we use amka char hove, or any kind of like if you're making lime pickle or anything like that, we use a lot of panchfuran in that. So the connection is that if you have that, if you're going to a desert island, and my desert island spice is going to be a panchfuran, because A, I can sit and separate them because they have five whole spices. Each and every spice works magically, beautifully with their own. And we are a rich country of spices, and that spices work so well. I think the combination of rich cuisine of Punjab and the not just the spices, but I just think it works really well. And also that you have to understand that Bengal is a place. Forget about Mumbai or anything. Bengal is the place where there is a small minority of Sikhs, lot of Sikhs, Jains, Marwaris.
Okay.
Then British Anglo-Indians, then Armenians, where I, Asansol, and a Jewish community. So there is a community from different places, Hindus, Muslims. So the food became such a big part of Mughlai food hall. Yeah, you know, you're going to British bakery or Armenian bakery and things like that is very, very different from any states of India. And any, I would say that people from rich to poor to middle class can really heavenly live in that part of the world, because I think it's very, very different from any states of India.
Lovely. And when you moved from there to the UK, that must have been quite a culture shock.
It was, because...
How old were you then?
22.
Okay.
So 22, we didn't have technology then. And also to phone your family from there, it was so expensive at that time. Either wrote letters and emails with something that was just coming. People were starting to learn how to email or use computers and things like that. So I think that old school was quite good. I love that old school. But things have changed now. I think when I reached there, the excitement of going there is completely different. You know, nowadays, the kids go. They have their iPhones. They have their, you know, any kind of technology with their laptops. I think that... the thing is very different from the generation that I went. I'm 51 now. So when you turn, you can do the maths, how long it is. So I think when I went more than 30 years ago, it was completely different. After within a week, the time when I went, it was very time, which is November time. Oh. It's very dark, cold, and damp. And then you miss the food, you miss your friends, you miss your family terribly. And you have no other choice but to make new friends, to learn the food from that part of the world. I think I make friends very quickly, in a sense that you have to knock the door of somebody's. You know, I think that's how the culture in India is very different, that we make our neighbors are kind of... Like now as well, where I live, all my neighbors are like, we can open door policy, you know, everyone can walk in our door and we can talk about it. I think that's how I grew up in India. Mm-hmm. Up to changes is different. People have to make appointments to go to somebody's house now.
Even to talk on the phone.
I know. So I think that was very different to the time now.
How did you adjust to the food there?
Oh, I didn't adjust for a very long time. You have to understand, the food scene, Indian food scene, is changing now, has changed a lot in the recent years. People, British people now understand there is regional Indian food. We don't speak the same language. We look very different. We are rituals, celebrations, everything is different. So they understand now the food of South is not just South Indian food. They are from Karnataka, from Madras, or, you know, Konkani food, like Chetnad food. Every food is very different. Then even if you go to Punjab, Delhi food is, you know, people think butter chicken is Punjabis. Actually, it started in Delhi and then it went around everywhere else, which is there is more to Indian food than butter chicken. You know, yes, I love butter chicken. Don't get me wrong. I make a good butter chicken, but the Indian food is so different. Even lentils, dals, lelo up. Kitne achhe achhe dals you can make. For me, I think that identity going, my husband took me out to eat. And that was a point when I said to my husband that I can't eat this Indian food. This is not Indian food. Everything tastes the same. because you have to understand we have curry houses. So the curry houses are very typically that 10 pints of lager and a curry, which is like has a place. Okay. They are the people who introduce the British with the spices, you know, the spicy food. But I won't be eating that food. You can't eat that food because it's too sweet. It's too, either it's very hot. Vindaloo ko matlab hi nahi pata kaise banta, kya banta, khana hai ki bahut spicy hai. But if you have a real vindaloo, it's completely different. So I think that when I said to my husband, I'm opening a restaurant. Uh-huh. And he looked at me and he's like, this woman is going to do it. And it happened many years later.
And you did. You did open Rumi's Kitchen. But did you train?
So the story of me, I always wanted to be a chef or a spy. These were the two things.
So why a why did the spy not happen? I have to ask this.
Spy didn't happen for various reasons. Ki main agar spy ban jaun, so maybe I won't be able to come back to my country or something like that. You know, there were so many things which went around my head. And then I still love reading anything which is spy, detective, anything you give me, I'll read it. Or I was very good at cricket. My parents were like, cricket nahi kuch nahi ban sakta ladkiyon ka cricket. Matlab that point abhi shuru hua, at least people have started to know that women actually are good at cricket, you know. But that time you can understand that with cricket, whether you're good or not, no one wanted you to play the cricket. That you couldn't do. My mom had cancer when I was doing 11th or 12th standard, I think it was. She had cancer, diagnosed with cancer. And that was the point when mom was such a good cook. Everybody's mom is a great cook, you know. And she would put a lot of salt and things in the food that she couldn't taste it. Her sense of tasting was very different because when you're having a radiotherapy or a chemotherapy, senses are very, very different. So that was a point of me, my whole idea of becoming a chef and cooking started from that point. And I think when you have it in you, you knock the doors of the people that I want to do this, I want to be this. Whether you go to a culinary institute or not, you want to learn. I think, and I tell you one thing, that hospitality is one of the most welcoming industry in the world. You can go without learning the skills and learn
on the job.
And on the job. And also it's a kitchen where I was today prepping for a dinner for tomorrow. So there were somebody from different states. They were all speaking different languages. It's a world kitchen, right? Mm-hmm. You can learn so much in that kitchen through food. Sabka khana alag hai. The way they cook, the method, technique, spices, same rahenge. But the food way of techniques changes. So the kitchens are an amazing place to learn. And you have to be very cleverly. I love learning from these young guys, listening to them, because how their parents would cook. Or I would say, how your mom would make this biryani. Or where is the best biryani? Which a 5-star hotel mein nahi jana. Tell me the best biryani place in Mumbai. And I want to go there. You know, agar mujhe kuch kapde change karke bhi us place mein jana, I will go there. You tell me. And she told me the right place where to go to eat the best biryani. So I'm going to try that.
Lovely.
So I think you have to be very open. You have to open with the challenges that you will face. And also you have to understand hospitalities, restaurants, you have to work long hours.
There's a wonderful story about how you started your restaurant.
Yeah.
And how you didn't get the loans you wanted.
Yeah.
And how you went hammer and tongs after it. Tell us all about that.
So, yes, ek to support network, okay? Fine. I got the place for grade 2 listed building. So, people who don't know, grade 2 listed building is a very old building. Where you have to get the permission to change of use. So, there are many things that took about 3.5 years. But still, when I had that building, you still had to pay the loan. You know, you have to still pay the rent and things like that. I was still doing it. Even if it's less, you still have to do it. It took me 3.5 years to get the great touristic building changed to restaurant. Anybody in the right mind would have given up. But I said, no, I want to open here. The reason I want to open here, if something happens to my daughters, I can run home and see them, you know. If I'm far away, I can't. So I didn't give up. Neither did my husband who supported me. And then when we were working, I needed a loan. Not a big amount, very small amount. My husband and I, we put a lot of shares, a lot of our money in the building. I didn't want an investor. It's the first time I'm opening a restaurant. I just didn't want an investor to kind of say things and put input. I just needed a little bit more money. All the banks refused. They did not want to give me money because restaurants fail in first year. Women of color, women, three things against you. So my husband saw this something on BBC that they were looking for small businesses and how the banks don't fund the small businesses, yet they get the money from the government. So they also looked, saw my social media about something, and they approached my approached me and they did a film, a news about me. And the next day, the NatWest gave me a loan.
Oh.
So the power of social media can be very good, negative and positive. I think that really worked in my favor. And they're still very good with me if I, you know, want anything. But also at the same time, I said to my husband, when no one was giving me the loans, I sold all my gold jewelry. My daughters want yellow gold. They're not going to wear it. I rang my parents. I rang my in-laws and said, I need the money. I want to sell my jewelry. I don't want money from you guys. They said, that's fine. That's how what we do. You know, if you need of money, jewelry. I said, I don't wear it. It's in the locker. So I sold all my jewelry except one thing and invested in my restaurant.
Lovely. We'll take a short break and we'll be right back with Romy Gill on Chasing Creativity. And we're back with Romy Gill. Romy, tell me, you just told us about how you got the loan that got your restaurant started. But what was the vision behind starting the restaurant?
So I really wanted to share the food I grew up in India. So my sense for me, many chefs, it will be the street food. The street food is a place in India where you will be able to understand the flavors of India really well. Because the way it's cooked in front of you, some years ago, now things have changed, you know. And also the street food was in Bengal is very different to the street food here. Also the Hakka style of cooking, you know, the Chinese people are there. The community is completely different. So the street food scene is very different. The egg rolls, the cream rolls, you know, all that kind of things you get in Bengal. I still crave for it. I recently I was there and I was like, every place I have to go. And I took my dad everywhere. And my best friend from New York came. We went there. I wanted, my vision was just plain simple food. Not just ghar ka khana, because there were chefs who trained me really well to make it fine dining as well. So there was something like, let's say, octopus, you know. I've never eaten octopus in India when I was growing up. So I ate octopus in a really good restaurant. It's called Sabor, which Barafina it used to be. Now it's Sabor. She moved, the chef moved, Nevis began. And she made this amazing, she's a Spanish chef, an amazing poached octopus. And I was like, oh, it will work so well with the Indian spicing. So I took the panchfuran and then we poached the pear in the panchfuran. And then we cooked, I have the tandoor, I learned how to do the tandoor as well. So we just literally put the, on the top of the tandoor, we put the, after poaching the octopus tentacles, we put on the top of the tandoor. So you get that smoky touch to it. And then in the tamarind, you just literally cover it. And the flavor, you know, we used to sell 100 tentacles a week.
Wow.
5 days.
Wow.
So that, I think you have to be creative.
So what is the process from ideation to the actual finished dish on a table, being served at a table?
So for me, let's say a simple moili, which is from Saad Mein Aap Khate Ho, which is a really beautiful coconut broth dish, you know, with like curry leaves and different spices. So my way of moili is what I picked from a chef I've learned. And I went and did it in a little different way. And I will serve it in a very different way. I'll use a sea bass, make it really crispy. First in oil, skin side down. And then a lot of butter or ghee, whatever you want to. So it's nice and crispy skin on the top. And my moili sauce, once it's cooked, I will make sure it's like blended in a blender. Then we will sieve it. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to serve it for you on the table. The fish is going to go in a bowl. And then the sauce, one of my, you know, either chef or waiter is going to pour it on the side. If you go on my social media and know what I'm talking about, I won't plate the moili or the fish together.
Okay.
So I want it to look beautiful. I want you to see that how it's done. But then at the same time, the flavors in the fish are so beautiful with just salt and pepper and that curry leaf oil that you want to eat. It's Moorish. You want to eat more and the sauce. So I think that I learned the techniques, the presentation. I wasn't born like, you know, no one born with anything. You learn the process. And hospitality, like you said, you learn nonstop. Like, you know, these kids working for 12 hours, they come from so far because they have that in them and they want to cut up, you know, want to do this. There's a, because I think food is a connector. For me, it's always been a connector. When I moved, it became a connection. And through that connection, I was able to feed people. And what pleasure when you can earn money from that.
Absolutely.
You know?
Would you say there's a signature Romi girl style to the dishes you make?
Samosa chaat.
Okay.
That is, Grace Dent is one of the most famous critics in UK. And she's very witty, very funny. She writes for Guardian. She, if you read her column, she's funny. And she does this podcast as well, Comfort Eating. And she's fabulous. So she came to my restaurant to eat as a food critic. We didn't know. And that was a day of really awfulness. My staff didn't turn up and I was cooking for so many people. And my front of the house were like, chef, calm down. It's fine. She walked in and you should have seen my face because she's most respected food critics. And I was nearly in tears because I'm like, yehi mere saath hona tha, aaj hi aana tha. And then walks in a very famous chef. So I'm like, oh my God, this is going to kill me. And then walks in a famous, really well-known politician. And I was like, this is a dead day for me. But she loved the food and samosa chaat became, I think that became my signature dish in a sense that she, every time she raves about it, she said that's her desert island dish. So my samosa chaat is samosas. You make it, fill them up. I just make my own samosas from scratch. And then you crush it. Then it's a layer of chickpeas. So usually chaat mein jo chickpeas bolte na, wo boil karke dalte hai. Usme koi bhi spice hai. But I cook my chickpeas with spices and many other methi. You know, sukhi methi, kasturi methi ke saath, and many other spices with tomatoes, and that goes a layer on it. Fir uske upar layer sweet potatoes, shakarkandi hoti hai, usko roast karti hun.
That's
so that
new
goes
one.
On the top, and then goes the minced coriander chutney without garlic. Usme garlic nahi dalti hun because some lot of restaurants put garlic in the minced coriander, the green chutney, hari mein. Usme wo nahi dal. Punjabis don't put it. Anardana dalte hai. So usme thodi khatas thodi different aati hai. Then there's a layer of tamarind, obviously. A yogurt aata hai. Yogurt wo bhi na chaat masala dal ke usme, then you put a little bit of sugar, then you put tamarind, and then it was the roasted cumin seeds crush karke, then you put, then mix it, whisk it, and then put that layer, and then goes wo crispy bhujia, then goes the layer of tamarind chutney again, then pomegranates and coriander.
Lovely.
Nine or 10 layers of different things.
I am so hungry right now.
I'm sorry, you don't have food. You should come and eat
so
my food.
So hungry right now, just listening to that. We need a mop now because I'm going to be drooling all over. What is your comfort food?
So my comfort food is cheese on toast with chili flakes.
Lovely. Steak
with a cup of chai.
That's simple and nice.
It has to be white toast, no white bread. It cannot be brown bread. White bread, nice cheddar cheese. Grated, wo bhi layer nahi, grated karke. Then you cook it and then you put chili flakes or rose harissa. And with a cup of chai, that is heaven. And so you don't want, when you're cooking with the spices, with the onions. I was today, when I was prepping, I said, please, onions mere saamne mat laao, main smell karungi onions ka. We have to go out. They were all laughing at me. So onions are, when you're cooking around all the spices and onions and all that, I think you're so full and you don't want to eat. But when you, once you go home, and that's what you, that's heaven for me.
Oh.
You know? Simple.
Lovely. Romi's Kitchen still exists?
No, I closed just before COVID. My lease was up.
Okay.
The first case was heard around October time or something. And my lease was up and I just like, it was the best time. I think somebody was sitting on my shoulders, and 2019, I closed my restaurant. And I think that was the best decision I did.
Are you plan to open it again?
I do consultancy loads. No. I do a lot of consultancy. Like, you know, I do a lot of television and write books and travel and write for different publications. But I do a lot of pop-ups all over the world, whoever invites me. Obviously, they have to pay me. I'd come with a fee.
As you should.
But I will open a restaurant one day. But I just, you know what? I lost my time with my children. My daughters, 7 years, I saw them barely because I was so engrossed in making that restaurant so successful, and any opportunities I used to get on TV, I wanted to do it because I wanted my restaurant to be successful. So I think that 7 years I lost with my children, I I think I shouldn't say it. The pandemic was a good time for me with the children in a sense that I could be with them.
Lovely. You have now become an author. Yeah. You have two books to your credit, one on the way. What made you take the shift to writing cookbooks?
I think, you know, every Indians will have their authenticity in a sense that passed down from your grandma, granddads or families or aunts and uncles and mums and dads, whatever. So I think sometimes it gets lost. So I wanted to share the stories, the recipes that I grew up eating.
Okay.
In a Punjabi household or with my friends, which were like my father, the people came from all over India, from South, from Kashmir, from Rajasthan, Gujarat, Bengalis. We were all a community, you know. At any occasion, the food was on the table that everybody would bring a potluck dish with them. And that was their dish of that region. So I think that I wanted to share it. And then when I got the opportunity, actually, it wasn't easy. I think never and nothing comes easy in my life. The restaurant took 4 years before it opened. Then the book 10 publishers refused me for 10 years. No, 23 publishers refused me for 10 years.
Oh, man.
I didn't give up.
There's a lesson here.
So I did not give up, you know, and the Zaika came and I wanted plant-based recipes because I was so cross with people not understanding that we eat vegetarian or plant-based food naturally without even ki jackfruit ko pulled pork bana ke bechna hai, watermelon ko steak bana ke bechna hai. Why? If wanna be vegan or wanna be plant-based, whatever vegetarian, you need to just eat what it is in front of you, right? You know, that my publishers, Romy, this is your first book. Are you sure you want to write? I said, yeah, I want to. I'm very sure. So they just agreed to me. Thankfully, it did so well, and then came on the Himalayan Trail, which I'm so proud of it, which is completely different. It's the travel cookbooks, and that's what I do now. I write travel cookbooks. I write for, even if I write for New York Times or Sunday Times or Telegraph, so anybody I'm writing, I write travel and food. I meet the people, I learn from them, and then I go back and cook myself, and every credit goes in that. If you open my book, somebody recently, you know, DMs me aate rehte hain, rubbish. Sometimes I look, sometimes I don't. And this lady said, how can you write a book about Kashmir? I said, if you know anything about me, then you will understand why I wrote this book. It's nothing to do with anybody. It's me as a writer, as an author, as a chef. Forget about all those author things. Forget, as a chef, I want to learn. I want to learn the food from the country I grew up. I want to learn from people. I'm not giving anybody a voice or anything. I want to learn from the people. I want to just share it with the wider audience. And she was quite nasty in her message. And I was like, my agent said, don't reply to her. I said, I'm going to reply to her. I said, first go and do research about me and then come to me. Then I can explain you better. Mm-hmm. Then she apologized to me. I said, I'm a travel writer. I write, I meet the people. And if you open the book, it says that the recipes are not mine. They're from the people I sat down, I cooked with them. I spent time with them. They taught me, they opened the doors. And I, how I learned. And every recipe tells your story, tells the name of the person who gave it to me, tells, and the person who cooked for me, or I cooked for them. And there's only a couple of recipes that I made it using the ingredients that they use. And I said, I've made it very clear. So I think people are there. I think people, there always will be people who will try to bring you down. But I just think I like going around the world. I like writing. I like eating. And that's what I want to share.
And the next book coming up is also a travel cookbook.
That's a very personal book. And I'm really excited about it. It's a book from where I grew up, back to my roots.
Oh, lovely.
So it's a book of two kitchens. So very Bengali kitchen. Growing up with South Indian friends from, no, I shouldn't say South Indian. I should say Andhra Pradesh. I should say Karnataka, Kerala, Madras, and different places. It's a story about different friends. Even a Maggie. I picked up a, like how now also people will be really able to relate to Maggie. A simple packet of Maggie can bring you so many memories. You know, tea, which comes from, we all drink tea. We all, you know, people drink coffee, but tea is something, how it was brought up, how the British brought up to this country. And such a sad story behind it as well. I think you have to share the good and the bad about where you grew up. It's not, you know, everything is not what you see, right? But also the bringing, I think for me, history is very important, because I think then you can go back and talk about history, but also cricket. Cricket was so huge in the British time in Bengal, and how it went from different parts, and we thrash them now. We're good at it. So I think we learn from them and we become very good at it, which is great. But I do support the, I shouldn't say that. I support the British team than the Indians. I shouldn't say it, but yeah.
Why not? You have there.
I live there, right?
You live there now.
I'm, my daughters are very British in a sense. They're born there, you know. Their roots are very different to my roots. I love coming back to my country. This is my country where I grew up, and I want to share my roots. And everybody's story is so different from one another, isn't it? And I think my story is something. If people, I want you to write a story about me and then sell those rights, right?
Done, done. It's a deal. It's a deal. But before that, all the very best for the next book.
Thank you so much.
When is it out?
Next year in September.
In September. Looking forward to it. Thank you so much, Romy, for this conversation. This was lovely. We had a great chat, and I'm looking forward to eating something you've cooked someday soon.
Yes, please do come.
Thank you for tuning into this episode of Chasing Creativity. I wanted to say thank you to Amazon Music once again for partnering with me on this episode of this podcast.